Just like to welcome all of you. Thank you so much for being here as we both remember and celebrate the life of Bonnie Garrison, born April 10th, 1947, passed into the arms of God on May 29th, 2024. And I'm so glad that we were able to have a memorial, even though it's been a little while. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your love and your compassion toward us. And Father, we come today remembering your wonderful child, Bonnie. As we remember her today, God, I ask that you would just really bring some peace and comfort to all of us here in this place. We ask for the joy and the peace that only comes from knowing you. I pray that we would just enjoy remembering some of the stories, some of possible events, but we pray that each person here knows you, first of all, and leans into you to find comfort in your arms. So we thank you so much for your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have some people that the program is a little different than usual, but we have some people that are going to share and a little bit of background hear from Catherine. So go ahead. Okay.
She got off work.
I'm sorry. Maybe you could share those notes with her.
Yeah, I will. I'll give them to her if I need to. Hi. I got a call yesterday from Sherry first to verify Bonnie's birth date, and then Pastor Floyd called me about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon and said, would I speak? So she was a dear friend of mine, so I'm glad to do that. I want to thank Pastor Floyd for remembering to do this and planning this today. And I hope that you will share and you will add to what I say or correct me if I'm not quite right, so that we can all remember Bonnie in our own ways. I know her for attending church for a long time, and I know she has a lot of connections here. So thanks for sharing in advance. I met Bonnie when I attended both the Church Widows Group and the WOW Bible Study in 2011. We were only 4 months apart in age and recently widowed, and we started a long friendship. As a friendship grew, Bonnie shared some of her past with me. She was a native Tucsonian, an only child living in a struggling household. She talked about how hard her mother worked at various jobs and how her neighbors helped her out. She married twice. Her first marriage was disturbing, and while married, she worked nights as a waitress. The saddest part, and this really bothered me, was during that time, she was pregnant 3 times, but all 3 children were born premature and did not survive. Bonnie would tell me when it was one of their birthdays. She said that after the divorce, she never wanted to marry again. Time passed. Her car needed repairs, so she took her car to a repair shop and met Bill, who was working there. They married, and from her comments, he seemed to be a very nice man who took good care of her. Her only known living relative was Bill's elderly mother, who lived in California. Christ Community Church was Bonnie's family. I know there were various church people who assisted her with life management issues. She was present every Sunday unless she felt ill. She always arrived early, Sunday morning or at any events. She brought her Bible and took notes. When the church started using the ESV version, she purchased a new Bible. Our Lord Jesus was definitely her shepherd. Bonnie was very thoughtful of others. She was the greeting card lady who sent cards not just for special occasions, but even just for cheering you up. Later, she learned to text and would send text messages, especially before Sunday church. Her gifts to others included devotions such as this that I was the recipient of 6 times this year. She was known for bringing homemade food. For Sojourner's Bible Study, she faithfully brought baked eggs shaped in whatever was the holiday theme. For the Widow's Saturday FOC brunches, Bonnie was known for her delicious sandwiches. And for others in the church, she prepared food for them to take home. Bonnie loved her feral cats. Her cats were her children. I knew two of them, Tojo, who had six toes, and her last cat, Baby. She liked to talk about her cats and take pictures of them. Her friends gave her cat themed presents for her birthday and Christmas, and in this picture up here, she is wearing a cat necklace. Maybe the earrings, too, I can't tell, but definitely the cat necklace. I miss my dear friend, who has always had a smile, kind words, and a hug, but I know I will see her again someday. So thank you for all sharing and fill in the gaps for me. I appreciate it very much.
So what we can do is just have some people share, keep it brief. A couple of people said they have a little bit longer ones, but love to hear some stories of her. Anything you would like to say, just come on up here and you can do that.
Hi, I'm Diana Seal, and I met Bonnie about the same time that Catherine did, through the same organizations. We became very close because we were all widowed around the same time. And so we would sit together at church. Sometimes we'd go out to lunch after church. But the thing about Bonnie was that she always sent cards. And if it was your birthday, she'd want to go out for lunch or whatever. The main thing that she enjoyed most was Christmas. We would always get together, the three of us, and we would go to Brush Fire for barbecued sandwiches. And she would bring gifts for everybody. We exchanged gifts. But she had little gifts, and she had big gifts. And she had homemade cookies and candies and things that she always gave. And some of them were just like very intricate. So she spent a lot of time working on that. But she always had a smile. She always had a hug, as Catherine was saying. And the three of us became really close friends and spent a lot of time together. She was a person, as Catherine said, who was very giving. She would give and give and give, and she never expected to receive. She would always say, oh, I don't need that. It's okay. But, you know, she would always have a smile on her face. And so I will also miss her, and especially at Christmas time, because we would spend several days together doing different things. And whenever I found something with a cat on it, then I had to give that to her for her birthday or for Christmas. And one year, I actually found cat socks with cats on them. And so I gave her three pairs, different cats on them. You would have thought I had given her a bar of gold. I mean, she just was so excited. Now she had cats on her feet as well as being able to wear her jewelry. So she was a very special person, and I will miss her.
Hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mary Delsing, and I'm one of those with a longer thing to share. This is something that I wrote for or about Bonnie for Memory Lane Writers. Bonnie L. Garrison, sweet sister in Christ. Seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." I've only been attending Christ Community Church since January 7th of this year, so I did not know Bonnie for very long. However, in the time I did know her, we got to know each other very well, and I was blessed by her friendship. The day that I met Bonnie was a Wednesday morning prior to the Memory Lane Writers monthly gathering here at CCC. I walked up to the Family Life Center at about the same time she did. I waited for her and held the door for her. She asked if she was in the right place for Memory Lane Writers, and I assured her that she was and told her I was headed to the same gathering. As we walked into the building, she shyly confessed that she needed to ride the elevator. Then she nervously added that she had a fear of riding it alone. I told her I was happy to ride it with her so she wouldn't have to do it alone or be afraid. She profusely thanked me. We chatted on the way up to the second floor. She told me that she had been looking forward to the gathering, and I told her I was looking forward to it as well. We arrived in the room and took our seats, although we did not sit together. After the gathering, she told me that she was so sorry that she didn't sit with me. I made it very clear to her that it was no big deal at all, and I asked her if I could accompany her in the elevator for her ride downstairs. Her face lit up, and she gave me an emphatic yes. I saw her the following Sunday in between the services, and we were both excited to see each other and decided to exchange phone numbers so that we could make plans to go to lunch. I was amazed and impressed that she had a personal card with her name and information on it that she shared with me. The top of the card read, Bonnie L. Garrison. I thought it was so special that she included her middle initial. A day or so later, I called her, and we spoke on the phone for quite a while, getting to know one another better. She was so pleasant. We made plans to go to lunch. However, when we got closer to the date, she had to cancel those plans. We spoke on the phone several times, and at times we were on the phone for at least an hour. We shared different aspects of our faith journey. She told me different things about her life and her two husbands. She said her first husband wasn't the best husband, and that they just didn't belong together. She told me about her second husband, who was the love of her life and had already passed away. I loved hearing how they met and how she tried to not go out with him, but to no avail, they were meant to be together. I took pleasure in hearing about her being a waitress for years at the restaurant at JCPenney's here in town. I was highly impressed with her devotion to her job. I also thoroughly enjoyed hearing about her beloved kitty, Baby. Baby was the highlight of every day and the current love of her life. And although Bonnie suffered greatly through the children that she did have, she always wanted to hear about my children. The fact that she didn't speak ill of her first husband and asked about my children despite her great losses says a whole lot about her character. During a phone conversation we were having prior to the next Memory Lane Writers gathering, I asked her if we could meet outside under the awning in front of the Family Life Center so that I could ride the elevator with her. She agreed and was very grateful for my offer. I could hear her smiling through the phone. We met outside before the gathering and rode the elevator together, and when we got upstairs and were just outside the room where we were meeting, she said she definitely wanted to sit with me this time and asked if that would be okay with me. I was very touched by her offer, and with a huge smile on my face, it was my turn to give her an emphatic yes. We did sit together for that gathering. She was so excited to share with everyone the acronym of JOY, J-O-Y, Jesus, Others, Yourself. She said, this is how we are to live, always putting Jesus first, then others, then yourself. She had told me about wanting to share it with the group during one of our phone conversations prior to the gathering, and the excitement she had about sharing it with others radiated through the phone. After the gathering, we rode the elevator downstairs together. We saw each other in between the services on many Sundays and always exchanged hugs and a whole lot of love when we did. We tried several times to make lunch plans. However, it just wasn't God's will. I heard from her on a Friday, and she told me our plans for lunch would still have to wait and that she wasn't feeling well. I told her I understood perfectly and that she needed to take very good care of herself, and then we prayed together. The following Tuesday, I received a text from a friend of hers letting me know that she had passed away. Bonnie was so pleasant, and it was an absolute joy getting to know her as well as I did for that short period of time. Everything in life is for a season. My season with Bonnie wasn't very long. However, I'm incredibly grateful to God for it and for her, and the friendship that God cultivated in that short amount of time. I was greatly and positively impacted by her. I'm so thankful to be considered her friend and sister in Christ. I will always praise God for what he blessed us to share, and am filled with gratitude to have been her elevator escort. Bonnie was immensely loved by many people and is greatly missed. There's no doubt about it. I don't like to say goodbye, as it seems so final. So I'll just say, I'll see you again, Bonnie. I have no doubt our lunch plans will finally come to fruition when we meet again in heaven, where Jesus will be joining us for that lunch date in person. I thank our Heavenly Father for the love and laughter and fun and fellowship that He blessed Bonnie and me to experience. I'm extremely grateful for the short yet special and memorable season she and I were blessed to share in His presence. He deserves all the glory, honor, and praise, and I thank Him immensely for my friend and sweet sister in Christ, Bonnie L. Garrison. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I am Judy Daggert, and I was one of the many privileged people to know this sweet lady. I had two texts this morning from people that are in Memory Lane Writers that wish they could have been here this morning and are sorry they couldn't. One is Sally Rouser, who's known Bonnie for years, and she says, Bonnie had a hard life, but wasn't bitter. She just kept quietly trusting in the Lord. Hope that we should be the same way. Another text that just came in while I was here is from Bob and Debbie Carpenter. They're unable to be here this morning, but they wish to share their thoughts. Bonnie was kind to everyone she met. She set a good example of loving others in word and in deed as she baked special treats for her friends. And I was so tickled to hear of all the good things that Bonnie made for all of you, because I was in Sojourners for a while, and I had her spinach casserole, and it was still warm, and I made sure I got back to the table right away and was in line, oftentimes first. It's really difficult to believe that Bonnie's been gone 7 months. Bonnie and I met in December of 2018. We texted for 5 years. She had arterial fibrillation and coronary artery disease. Well, we both shared having a heart stent, so that was quite bonding, believe me. Her last text was the morning of May 28th, asking me to pray for her while she was in the hospital. Bonnie also texted she wanted me to save Memory Lane Writers handouts for her. I was unable to reach her by phone that Tuesday morning. My follow-up text went unanswered, and I did the typical, where are you, Bonnie? What can I do? I called Christ Community Church, only to discover she had gone home the same day she texted me. And I see, maybe not quite, because that was the 28th, and this says the 29th. Bonnie was a vibrant, caring, loving individual. She always had a warm egg and spinach casserole for the Sojourners. She asked if I thought they would like it done with sweet potatoes for a change. It was so characteristic of her to think of others first. She had no children or living family. Her husband, Bill, passed away in 2011. She expressed, "It's no fun with no family." And I'm so glad that we all could be her family. Yet she was blessed with many friends who she treated as family. Being a positive and thoughtful person, she never said an unkind word about anyone. Baby, her cat, slept with her and was her world. I sent her my Memory Lane Writer's stories by mail, as she had no computer. She loved reading them and started to attend Memory Lane Writers. Now, Bonnie was not a writer, and I told her, that doesn't make any difference. You can just come and listen. And she was fascinated. On her second visit, she brought in a little stuffed cat. And she said, can I talk about it? I said, definitely. And she said, well, when I was, showing this to baby, he didn't like it, and he really got jealous, and he was trying to rip it up and bite it, and so he can't have it anymore. And I said, okay. And that was her story that she shared. She shared, you know what way to spell joy? Okay. What way do you spell joy? And I'm so tickled that Mary shared this. Jesus, others, and you. She so wanted to share a song that she'd learned in junior high camp, which expressed joy, but she didn't remember the words. Then she texted recently in March, I think I've got the words to the song. It's like God gave it back to me. Can I share it? Oh, definitely. Bonnie was able to do that in April. She sent me a Mother's Day card each year. If I was under the weather, she'd text, now rest and don't overdo. I have to watch how much I do. You are in my prayers. And I knew, without a doubt, she meant that too. Bonnie's loving spirit lives on, and I have no doubt she'll be greeting us in heaven with, I've been waiting for you. Welcome home. And as they say with the Olympics winners, you are the best of us. And Bonnie was.
Anybody else? What's good is this is recorded so that for those that aren't here, they can be able to get that. Yeah, come on.
I'm very nudgy. My name is Cora. I've worked with a youth group forever, and that's how I met Bonnie. We went and helped clear her yard, and it just was this high with weeds, so it wasn't like hard. But she was so excited when we were able to come that first time that I went to her house and she had baked goods and I commented on something, and so she promptly wrote out the recipe for me. And I was just looking through my recipe book 2 days ago and I found a couple recipes from her, and I thought, that is so sweet. And then I found out about this, which I'm glad, because I had been wondering when this was going to happen. So that was probably in 17 or 18. And then I think right as COVID started, she got my address and she wrote me a card and said, hey, if you ever want to text. And so then I texted her. And so then that started a few years of texting, and we would send pictures. And I just love how it's so consistent. Everything that everyone has already said, I want to say exactly the same thing. She loved my children. She would always ask about them. She'd be sad when she forgot their birthdays, and talked about her kids a little bit, and because she was a mom. And so when she told me Happy Mother's Day, I would tell her Happy Mother's Day, even though they're just in heaven. And when I found out that she had passed away, because we texted almost every day, if not, maybe, I mean, we might go a few days without texting, but, and usually she was the one that instigated it. So she was always thinking of others. But when I got the text that she had passed, I just felt relief for her. And like it was God's gift to her, because she had been worried about what she was going to do, and she didn't ever want to leave her house. Her husband had set her up so well. He had paid off her car. He had, set all these things up for her that she was set for the rest of her life. And I felt a little burden for her because she didn't have children or siblings to take care of her when she got to the stage where maybe she couldn't take care of herself. So when I found or heard the text, I just thought, God didn't even let her go through any of that, like dementia, or, and I know she had, broken her leg and some of the other stuff, but it just was his gift to her. And she just was such a sweet, she always had something for my girls. And one time we gave her a painted rock for her birthday, and she was, like somebody said, it was like you had given her gold. I think it was the cat socks. Just so sweet. So she didn't just affect her own age, she affected many years younger than her also.
My name's Chase, and we probably 10, 12 years ago, we started going to Bonnie's house every 4 months or so to clean up her yard, trim her trees, and in that process, and then we started going Christmas caroling there. It developed into a whole bunch of stuff, but it is encouraging to hear, like, she was sending my kids birthday letters every year, like, you know, you guys, and texting my wife all the time, and what a sweet lady. And I guess I'm so encouraged right now I didn't know how much support she had around her. I knew she had no family, and I knew she had the church. And I guess I'm just so grateful right now that she was surrounded by, you know, this amazing family, the body of Christ. And every time we went to go pull weeds, she'd have a whole spread of cookies and hot chocolate and whatever. We'd go Christmas caroling. We'd have 20 kids, or sometimes my community group, we'd go, and there'd be even more, like little kids and adults. She would pull everyone into her tiny little house, and her tiny little kitchen would be covered with cookies and hot chocolate and everything else. And I'm joyful to see how well she was loved. So she is missed.
I'm not much of a speaker. I wasn't even expecting to be here today. I was surprised when my boss said, go ahead, take the day off. I worked yesterday on my normal day off, so I could have off today. But when I moved here in 2015, I was looking for a church. And first I was looking for small churches because I wanted to get to know people in Arizona and Tucson, and didn't find any. And I saw this church, and it's like, it's a big church, I was a little intimidated, but they had a Bible study over in the Family Life Center, and I came over there and looking for a place to sit, and Bonnie says, come on over here, sit down with me. We just exchanged, some information about ourselves and stuff, and found out that we had things in common. And it's like, after that, we were always together. We were going out to eat together, we were going to church functions together, we were going shopping, And we discussed, a lot about her life, her husband's and everything. It's like shared a lot of intimate, details and stuff. She's my best friend, my first friend here in Arizona. And the year before, on Memorial Day, it's like, I always talked about my family, and she was always so, interested in everything. And she became family to me. And I took her down to Rio Rico to my brother's house. She met my brother and his wife, and my sister and her husband were there, and I believe my cousin's wife came to visit too, so she met some of the family. But And I was happy to meet them, and they really, you know, liked each other. You know, it was like she was part of my family. And like everybody else said here, she was big on Baby, her cat. You know, so I just, like I said, I'm not much of a speaker. I can't think very well right now, but, you know, it was a blessing to have her in my life. And I knew she struggled a lot, you know, with anxiety. And she always wrote on her cards, you know, Philippians 4:6. Yeah, so, but, you know, we always, you know, got together, ran around together, you know, tried to help each other out through things and sent each other cards and texted every day. And she's just a wonderful person. And I'm just, you know, glad that I spent so much time with her.
Good morning. I'm Jackie Smith, and I have a cute story about Bonnie. She knew my husband, my late husband, before I did. And so when she first came into Sojourners, he was sitting at our usual spot. We always sat at one table, same table. I still sit there, up in front. And she came into Sojourners, and she shouts across the room, "Is that you, Smitty?" And so then she comes over and she starts talking. She says, "It is you, Smitty." And he said, "I remember you, but I don't remember your name." And she said, "I'm Bonnie. I waited on you at the restaurant so many times." And then she turned to me and she started telling me all these stories about Cliff. I call him Cliff. He was known as Smitty when he was on the police department. And she'd say he'd come in for his dinner, and he always wanted the meatloaf dinner. And I said, "Well, he still likes meatloaf." And she said, "And so many times he'd get a call and have to leave." And she said, we couldn't box up his dinner at that time. But she said, when he'd come back, if he could come back, I'd have meatloaf dinner waiting for him. And so those was years ago, because he was on the force between the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Late 50s, 60s, and 70s, so that was a long time ago. And it turned out that also one of his daughters, as a teenager, was a waitress at the same restaurant, so she reconnected with her, with Lori also. The last couple years of Cliff's life, he was bedridden. Bonnie sent him a card probably every other week. It always had the Philippians 4:6 on it. She always sent cards to us anyway, but she really sent a lot to him because she knew he did not text. And then sometimes she could call, or I could have him call her. So it was really, she was just a blessing in his life, especially towards the end. And I just, I'll always remember her for that. And what a wonderful lady she is. We'll all see her again when we get to heaven. Thank you.
Well, like a couple of you have already said, that kind of heard that sometimes Bonnie worried a little bit. But Bonnie and I were warriors together. We did. We tackled the system together. What would happen is the security company that she had years ago kept billing her for, you know, and then I would go make sure that's paid off. I would talk to everybody. And it would just really, you could tell, it was so hard for her to deal with that because she got an invoice and she knew it was all done. But, you know, these companies just are out to try to make money and take advantage of people. And so, you know, we just fought them for years, paid it off, got everything figured out, whatever. It would come back up again and say, "Bonnie, you don't have to worry at all. Okay? We got this. We can do this, and I'll take care of it." you could tell that that was a lot on her plate. But yeah, we fought the system together, and we won, basically. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's good to get a W now and then. But I thought what we'd do is just share a little bit out of John chapter 14. That's just a powerful passage of scripture that we see Jesus ministering to us through. He's talking to his close followers then and his close followers today, which is you and I. He says, John 14, 1 to 6, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, you know where I am, and the way you know." And then Thomas, one of the disciples, we call him Doubting Thomas, but that would have been you and I today. You know, we kind of like put him under the bus. But he said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus tells them then and us today, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." Jesus, in the same way, tells us today as we remember and mourn the life of Bonnie, even though we're so glad she's in God's presence, and I do see that as a gift. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." He says that even in the difficult seasons of this life, we find comfort through him. And so how can he say that? Well, it says in verse 1, "You believe in God, believe also in me." We can be troubled with the pain and the losses in this life. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. A lot of times we can get anxious and fearful. I know Bonnie, she fought with that, but I saw her overcome. But Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. He offers real life and our eternal future, once bleak, is now bright. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Not only can we face death without fear, but we've got this this property waiting for us that God has put together. I personally like to think of it as beachfront, but we'll see. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, and I go and prepare that place for you." These words of Jesus just reassures us that he's got it figured out. He's got the arrangements. They're taken care of, and we can trust him with that. And this place that he's creating for us is a place that is free from the things that we struggle with here on this earth. Revelation 21:4 describes this place, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer death or sorrow or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And what an amazing promise for us. So from this passage, we see that our future is a place where there's no more sorrow, a place where there's no hurt and disappointment, no frustrations, unparalleled happiness, pleasure, no more pain, and it's a place of immense beauty as well. And we find this immense beauty in Revelation chapter 21. It talks about the walls of jasper, city of pure gold, clear glass, foundations of the walls adorned with all kind of precious stones. I think this was just John's vision that he couldn't put into words. That's my personal view. And so what he did is he threw out everything that was amazing in this life to try to describe it. And then, but most of all, in verse 4, "They shall see his face." That's Jesus. "And his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This place is going to be out of this world, you know, literally. And what makes it amazing is who is there. And we find the answer to that as we keep reading. Jesus says, "I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, if we've accepted this free gift in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness offered there, we have this amazing promise for us in the future forever. That was a promise for his followers then, and this is the same promise for you and I today. In this verse, in verse 4, he says this, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Of course, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how do we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus lets us know how this program works. You know, he speaks to Thomas and says, you don't know exactly the way to heaven, but I will show you it's who I am, and I am your way. This is all Thomas needed to know. It's all we really need to know as well. Life is about accepting Christ as personal Savior and Lord, the one who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. Then living this amazing adventure in him today. And then, of course, we look forward to when it gets really good, when we pass from this life. Mark 8:36, Jesus says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, what else is there worth running after? There really isn't. Being in line and in a right position with God the Father through Jesus is where it's at. Now, times like these are difficult, but they're so good because they remind us of what's really important and what's around the corner for us. Soon, you and I will just exit this world, and just one of those things we can count on. We live just long enough to make a single decision about Jesus Christ and say yes or no decision. Will we accept that forgiveness or not? 1 John 5 says, he who has the Son of has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know sin separates us from God. The Bible is very clear about that. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so I just pray that's where all of us in this place, pray that's where we're at. Well, it's sad to lose someone we love, but just a few verses from this passage in chapter 14, if you go down to verse 27, Jesus kind of wraps this up. He tells them then, tells us now, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We're promised today that we can possess this peace that is lasting. And the Apostle Paul explains this process of how this happens, and I don't think it's any coincidence that this passage is the one I'm going to share today, not knowing what you would say, but guess what passage this is? Philippians 4. Yeah, Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. You know, don't be afraid of anything. Don't fear anything. Don't have anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then what happens? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's like a prescription. You know, it's just we can line that one up in our life every day, and it looks like that's what Bonnie did. She lined up that verse from God to her life and found that kind of peace. I just want to end with that. I think that was just very profound, that was her verse. And I think we should just end on her verse. What do you think? So let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for Bonnie. We release her to you. And we pray that for years to come, you would just comfort those who are family, the kingdom, your kingdom, but also just in this local family here. Thank you for the people in this room who brought her, Bonnie, into the family and truly were the body of Christ living out their lives. Thank you for them. I pray your blessing upon them as well. And we just pray that you would just allow us to move forward well as we trust in you and daily give our lives to you, daily without anxiety, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We commune with you, and then we receive this peace. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, don't be in any hurry to leave. You can, if you've got a story to tell, you know, I'm sure as we just kind of make our way out or hang out a bit here, I'm sure other people want to know some of those stories. And otherwise, thank you again for being her local family here. And God bless you.